And so what's the first step in getting a prayer answered? Guess what? You got to ask. See, that's where most people don't, they don't even ask. Or if they do ask, they don't ask in a way that gets the answer. So they're not really asking, because if you ask, you receive. Does this make sense?
Yep.
So you have to decide, okay, what am I going to ask about? What am I asking for? What is the answer? Now listen, let's just look at the man at the Pool of Bethesda. Jesus asking a simple question, wilt thou be made whole? The man said, he answered, I don't have a man to put me in the water and when it's trouble. And he said, and while I'm trying to get there, other people get in ahead of me. Now, is that what Jesus asked him?
Nope.
Did that have anything to do with what Jesus asked him? Nothing. And yet, here's this man that Jesus just asked him, will you be made whole? Do you want, do you desire? Is it your desire to be made whole? And the man just started complaining. So here's a key lesson in prayer. When you go to God, don't go with a complaint. Go with an answer. You get that? Go with an answer. Father, you said in your word, right here, in this verse, by your son Jesus, whom I know is the truth, you said this. And you said that if I do this, you will do that. So I have done that. And I know you're going to be faithful to do your part. Now, see, that process is what I do. Now, I don't use these words necessarily, but every time I lay hands on the sick, I'm putting that process into action. See, there are prayers with words and there are prayers of action. That by doing something, it shows you're expecting God to answer. That make sense?
Yes.
And so there's a process that you can go through. Now, in matter of fact, we talked about, there's so many scriptures about how faith will overcome. See, we have to coordinate all of these scriptures together. And he said that if you have faith, all things are possible. So then it's just a matter of, do I have faith? And most people say, well, I don't know if I have enough faith for that. No, it's not about enough faith. It's just faith. Right? It's amazing how people say, well, I just don't know if I have enough faith. Wait a minute. So you have enough faith to change your eternal destiny and believe that you're saved and believe you're going to spend eternity with God. And you did that through pretty much one prayer. And yet you don't think you have enough faith to do some other little thing here. Come on. You've already had the greatest faith you've never have. You did that the moment you got born again because you had no right to get born again. Amen? You had nothing to base that on other than the grace of God. He offered it and I jumped in. Right? And now you're saved. And yet, for some reason, you think all the other stuff, you have to have so much greater faith for it. You know why? Well, I can tell you partially one reason. If you have a hard time believing that healing power was delivered to you or that you have received it because your body doesn't look different yet, then how much more should you not believe you're saved? Because I can guarantee if I followed you around for a day, some point you wouldn't look saved. Don't be following me around either. Because we're not perfect. We all make mistakes. No. Amen. Does this make sense to you? Listen, God knows us. He knows our frame, Psalm 103 says. He knows we're but dust. He knows all that stuff, right? And yet, for whatever reason, he still showed up to save us. You know, here, what you're going to see in the, well, it'll be a little while now because I'm fixing to go to Africa. Well, Mark 11:22. Jesus said, have faith in God. He said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, now get this, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Notice it's a command. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And shall not doubt in his heart. Now, doubt in this sense means this. It means not wavering. You got that? Not wavering. That means you don't back off. That means you don't, well, yeah, I received, but I, you know, how come I'm not feeling anything different? You just wavered. Why? Because that means you quit looking at the scripture and you started looking at the circumstances. And these things only help us when we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at those things which are not seen. What are the things that are not seen? The things that the scripture describes. We have to look at that beyond what we can see. Now, this sounds crazy. It makes no sense from a natural mind, which is why the natural mind can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. But now here's the thing. If you can't do that, okay, now I will tell you this. Whosoever can do that. You get that? So it's open to any person. But how do you do that? You get in this word, and you get this word in you. You abide in him, and his words abide in you. If his words abide in you, you're looking at the things which can't be seen. And when you're looking at things which can't be seen, listen, you can only look at two things, one at a time. You're either going to look at the things which can be seen, or you're going to look at the things which cannot be seen. And if you look at the things which can be seen, that's not Christianity. You have to look at the things which cannot be seen, which, like I said, makes no natural sense. But, and like I said, if you can't, okay, like I said, whosoever can, so any person can, but it's really, at this point, I would even say whosoever will. You get the difference? Because anybody can, but not everybody will. And here's how you do it. You get in this book, you look at this book, you read this book, and if need be, whatever the problem is in front of you, you put the book in front of your face. And you look at that instead of that problem. And then whenever that problem starts mouthing off, you mouth off.
Amen.
And you mouth off right back at it.
Yay.
And you said, no, mountain, you need to listen because you've got to go.
Amen.
And you start speaking to it. Now, I don't know what your mountain is. Your mountain could be a disease. If so be, then you need to speak to that mountain and say, no, sickness, you cannot live here.
Amen.
Why? Because this body is a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So you must leave, and you command it to go, and you put your foot down, and then you don't back off of that. Now, maybe your mountain is a child that's not living right. Well, in that case, again, you can't look at the lifestyle of the child.
Nope.
You have to look at this.
Amen.
And then, and guess what? When you start really looking at this, you know what's going to happen? There'll be people that will go out of their way to remind you of how your child is living. And so whenever that goes on, you have to plug your ears and just be able to look at this and go, nope, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Me and my whole house shall be saved.
Amen.
This is the way it will be. You say, well, but you don't have any say-so over their will. No, but I can sure speak the word of God and the promises of God, which allows the angels to be released to go bring the gospel in front of their eyes 24/7, make them so miserable as a sinner that they will actually give their heart to God and come back home like they're supposed to.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
We may not have, you know, power over their will, but we can sure have, we do have power over their circumstances.
Amen.
Amen? And we can make those circumstances so miserable, right? Okay. Ask me how I know.
Amen.
But let me tell you, if somebody comes to me that I have to put my trust in to take care of something, and they say, yeah, I'll be glad to do that for you. Well, it may not work, though. You know, I'm not that good a mechanic. I'm talking about working on cars. I'm not that good a mechanic. So, you know, but yeah, I'll be glad to take that engine apart and try to put it together. And, you know, I've only had a few extra pieces a couple of times. But yeah, you know, okay, somebody tells me that, I'm going somewhere else.
Right.
Why? Because we have to have confidence in what we do. If you don't get confidence, how do you get confidence? Get better at it. How do you get better at it? Study it out. Go into it. Practice it. Amen? But nobody has ever went to the Olympics by going, well, I'll give them my best, but, you know, it might not work. No, they go in there. Everybody runs so as to win. Amen? So you have to go into prayer with the idea of, I'm going to pray. Now listen, here's the thing. If you're going to pray in faith, you get the answer before you ever go to God. What does that mean? That means you find out what the answer is before you ever go to God to talk about it. And how do you do that? You go to His Word. And you find out what He has said about that topic. And then you bring that and you settle it that it's His will to do this thing before you ever talk to Him about it. See, if you go in there, listen, it's a prayer of faith, not the prayer of hope. A lot of people pray the prayer of hope and think they prayed the prayer of faith and then wonder why it doesn't get answered. Now, hope is important, but hope without faith won't bring the answer. Right? Now, faith without hope is non-existent because you have to have hope before you can have faith. Right? So all of this goes, and where do you get hope from? Well, you go into the Word of God and you find out this is possible. Matter of fact, God likes this. This is what He wants to do. This is what He's always done. Now, that's building hope. Well, He can do it for me too. And then you start finding out He wants to do it, or He's already said it's already done. And you settle that in yourself. You go, oh, wow, this is good. Now, so now all I got to do is receive it. That's the purpose of prayer. See, the purpose of prayer is not your talking. The purpose of prayer is for you to receive. Do you get that? Let me say it again. The purpose of prayer is not so God can hear you talk. The purpose of prayer is for you to receive, which means the moment of your prayer, if it's a true prayer, that is the moment that you received the provision provided for in the Bible. In other words, if you're going to pray, you ought to look at the date and the time. You ought to write it out, write out the scripture, write out the prayer itself. And as soon as you pray, go, yep, that's mine right now. I receive it in Jesus' name. And then get you one of those stamps and stamp it. Say, this is done. This is how the prayer of faith works. Now, people say, well, but you know, you make it sound so mechanical. Yes, and aren't you glad God did it that way?
Amen.
Why? Because if He didn't make it that way, you could never pray in faith. You would always be praying in hope, which is how most people pray, because they're always praying, we're just going to pray and see what God does. No, you got to see what God's going to do and then pray. Did you hear that? You got to see what God's going to do and then pray. You don't pray and then wait and see what God's going to do. You go in there knowing the answer before you ever get in there, right? It is very similar to a courtroom case, right? And a good lawyer knows he never asks a question that he doesn't already know the answer to. Amen? Because it will turn on you. Okay? And you will end up losing the case. So whenever you go to God, it's the simplest way to talk about it is this. When you believe that you receive the moment, and we're going to get to this in just a minute to give the details. But the moment you pray, you believe that you receive. Now, that doesn't mean you say, I believe I receive. Now, you can say that. But saying that doesn't mean you're believing that. You got that? So you have to first get yourself to a place where you know that when you pray, you're going to believe. You're going to believe that you have received. Now, the minute you believe you have received, you have just put yourself in the future. And everything you say about that now has to be in the past. Did you hear that? If you're going to pray effectively, when you pray, you have now believed that you receive and you shall have, according to Mark chapter 11. So once you have believed that you receive, now that means you believe that you have it, okay, that you have received it. And it says, and you shall have it, which means it is coming. It is there, but you have received it. So it's yours. So there's no other way. There's no other thing that can happen other than the fact that that prayer is answered and it's answered the way you prayed it. You got that? I hear people all the time. Well, you know, sometimes you pray and God gives you an answer and sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait. Right? That is not Bible. Because if you're going to pray, you're going to pray the promises of God, and all the promises are in Him. Yes. And in Him, so be it. Amen. So it's not a matter of yes, no, maybe, who knows. No, it's settled. And if you can't settle it, why? Because His word is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. If you can't settle it, you're not in faith. And if you're in faith, once you do settle it and you speak and you believe you receive, from then on you talk as though it's already done. Why? Because it was. When was it done? The moment you believed you received. Now, there may be a process to getting you to believe that you receive. Right? It'd be great to just go, oh, I believe. And I believe I receive right now. And it's done. Okay? It's great to say that. But you can say that and not mean it. And not be in you. So how can you make sure that when you say that, you mean it? You go to the scripture, you immerse yourself in it, and you just live in it. What does that mean? You abide in him, and his words abide in you. And that word gets in you, and you start speaking that word, and pretty soon, man, you get aggressive. And so it's funny because you'll be, yeah, this is mine. Well, this is mine. You know, used to it was, well, let's see what God says. I don't know. Let me see here. Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be good. And then the more you dwell on it, it gets stronger and it moves from that would be good over into an aggression. And you start looking and go, oh, glory to God. That's mine right there. That's, you see that? That's mine. That's mine. Well, but I don't see it in you. Well, that's because you can't see with the eyes of faith, but that's mine right there.
Amen.
Right? And you start, and all of a sudden, somebody would say something. Well, you don't look. Well, I am.
God.
Why? Because I've received.
Hey.
Well, I think you're in denial. I'm denying you right to speak into my ear.
Amen.
Go away. You see? Well, that isn't very nice. You want the answer or not? You want to live in the answer? Or you want to live getting along with everybody?